Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
It looked cold and miserable there, and I think actually the fact that a massive rain squall washed through an hour and a half before kickoff didn't help with the walk-up crowd.
No. And it was the same on Thursday night where the FAI had actually sold 6,500 tickets, were set for a record crowd and end up slightly less than the 5,200 that were at the Sweden game. But there was still, I'd say, up in 4,000 there last night. Conditions were as bad as I've been to at a match in the last couple of years. Gale force, driving wind, absolutely torrential rain. And the pitch wasn't in great condition by kickoff. There was a lot of surface water. So while in hindsight we look and say, yes, an 11-0 against Slovakia, you should be expecting to go and beat these teams well. So our Georgia have been improving. Georgia have been improving over the last campaign or so and had kept it tight against Sweden. It was a 4-0. It was a 3-0 against Finland, a 2-0 against Slovakia. So I think it was important for Ireland to break their resistance earlier to just take some positivity early in the game, bring the game to them, and whatever disappointment was there from Thursday, to banish that. And I think it'll do very well to pick any holes in last night's performance, which is unsurprising in an 11-0 victory.
Yeah. Can't do it on a wet Tuesday night in Tallaght Stadium. There's nowhere quite like it when the weather's in, rolling off the mountains like that. It's pretty grim.
Yeah, and I think the point you made about the quality of the football that they played early on, Nathan, that was, I guess, the most appealing characteristic, because there were doubts after the performance if any of the progress that we'd seen had actually been built on or if it was a little bit of a, you know, flash in the pan. It turns out that they are making progress.
Yeah, there was pressure because of the two drop points against Slovakia on Thursday. And while they were preaching positivity to the media, I think around the camp, there was a huge disappointment that they missed out on a massive opportunity to take 6 points from these two games and really ease the pressure on themselves heading into 2022 when 3 of the next 4 games are away from home. So they needed to get at them early yesterday. And I think Denise O'Sullivan was the one who drove Ireland right from the start. You might have seen that shoulder in the first half. It was like watching The Rock. Sent this Georgian player absolutely flying. And within a couple of minutes, you could see Denise O'Sullivan wanted to get on the ball all the time. And that was the biggest difference from Thursday to tonight, that Megan Connolly and Denise O'Sullivan ran the game in the middle of midfield. They were close together. They had added Rarisha Littlejohn, who also had a fine game in there as well, and just dominated possession. Never gave Georgia a chance on the ball at all. Passed it quickly, got it to their talented attacking players, got Katie McCabe in. And when McCabe and O'Sullivan are playing well, Ireland can achieve a lot. And the big question mark still, I think, is against the better teams, how do they get O'Sullivan involved in the game like she did last night? It'll never be that easy. But how do you get her involved in that final third more often instead of dropping deep where it can all be a little bit frantic? And how do you get Katie McCabe into that attacking position? Because where she was last night is where Ireland fans want to see her, where she's at her more dangerous. But in the majority of the games in this campaign so far, she's been totally on the back foot and struggling to get out of her own half. So how you transfer that to a game away against Sweden or at home against Finland is the big task for Vera Powell.
Are they better set up to play away from home then if they're not expected to be on the front foot?
I don't know. I think you want them to be on the front foot. And Ireland have gone down a path of playing very difficult games. They've got some friendlies in February where Vera Powell was saying last night again she's looking to play 3 games and again looking to get difficult opponents, that she feels actually a performance like that couldn't really happen unless you're playing the tougher teams, unless you're really having to scrap for possession all the time. But they clearly there's a lack of trust. Maybe it's a deserved lack of trust in some of the creative players of allowing them further forward, like playing 5 at the back, basically, at home against Slovakia. The back 3 works just fine, but when Katie McCabe and Onya O'Gorman, or whether it's Jessica Zhu, are pinned back in their own half, it just feels as though it's going to be very hard for the midfielders to gain any control. We saw Heather Payne, who wasn't there last night, basically playing that sort of traditional Irish striker's role of, you know, being busy and covering every blade of grass without ever really getting a touch in around the opposition penalty area. So I think the next stage is for them to have some more control. Like Sweden away is as tough a game as you can find. You know, the second best team in the world. You know they're going to dominate possession. But when you get a chance to get on it, having enough players in the right positions to do it, which I just don't think they've really had in this campaign so far. And it's probably one of the reasons I think that there's been a bit of pressure mounting because a lot more people are taking interest in the team. A lot more people are going to Talent to watch them, and then they're watching it and thinking, actually, you know, is this what we want or what we expect? But Vera Powell will point to the results and say they're second in the qualification table. If the results go the exact same way in the next stage, Ireland will be in the playoff, which will put them in with a brilliant chance of getting to a first ever major finals.
Yeah, the playoffs are quite convoluted, and so we can come back to those, unless you have a Nations League style Kevin Caban explainer ready at the fingertips, do you?
The playoffs, well, obviously all the teams that win the groups go into the playoffs, and then for the playoffs, the second place teams go into a draw, and at the moment there's 9 second place teams go into that draw.
All the teams who win qualify. All the teams who win qualify.
All the teams that win qualify, and there's going to be 2 rounds in the playoff as well. And you want to be one of the best playoff teams, basically, to make life that little bit easier for yourself. So that's why even that Slovakia game is a disappointment if you finish second in the group. Goal difference probably shouldn't be relevant. I know Ireland racked up a big goal difference last night. Probably shouldn't be relevant, really, because it'll be your head-to-head, more than likely, against Finland that would take precedence.
Okay. Our next competitive game is in Sweden in April. And then after that, the next game is in Georgia in June. And there's another game in September then, away to Finland. And we finished with that doubleheader is in September, away to Finland and Slovakia at home. Sorry, away to Finland and Slovakia.
The other way around, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Finland at home and Slovakia away. These friendlies are actually going to end up being quite important then. When you're talking about the style of play at the moment, did we play 3 at the back last night, but it just ended up being a 3-5-2 because we were in possession of the ball the whole time? Like, is the 3 at the back, that's what we're going to do, and it's going to try and be adaptable to whatever challenge we face?
Yeah, I think if you were ever to change away from a 3-5-2, last night was the time to do it. It was more a 3-4-2-1 probably last night, where Lucy Quinn, Anthony Sullivan were pushed right up by Hind, Kira, Carusa. And like, the difference between a 3-5-2 and a 5-3-2 is probably pretty seismic for a team, in that because Katie McCabe is Ireland's outstanding player, that's the difference between her playing as a left back and playing as a left winger. And her playing as a left winger gives Ireland a creative outlet out there that's as good as any team in the world. Whereas if she's stuck inside her own half, yes, it's great to have that defensive solidity, and Ireland have an incredible amount of experience in the back. I think that is the key, that actually it needs to be more of a 3-5-2. I think last night she brought in Diane Caldwell on the left-hand side in place of Savannah McCarthy, probably knowing that the pace of Savannah McCarthy wasn't going to be needed as much if Katie McCabe did roam forward down the left-hand side, because Georgia played one up front. I don't think had a single shot on target, maybe one in the entire game, but you know, never were going to put any great pressure. So McCabe and Zoo could do what they wanted. They never had to help out in the defence at all. But like, Vera Powell is incredibly set in her ways. She knows exactly what she wants to do. She isn't returning. I don't think she takes much heed of any criticism about style of play or anything like that. In one way, it feels as though it's a little bit reminiscent of times of Trapattoni, that you know, she will look at the players and the quality of the players and point out that they're not at the level of a Sweden or a Netherlands and the best teams in the world, and that this is a system that gets the very best out of them. And it's not about style. It's not about attractive football. It's about qualification. And it's a conversation we're well used to in this country about football. Can we have both? Can we have both?
How do the players feel about that?
Well, the players, when results are going all right, like in any team, seem to be buying into it. You do get the sense that there's a feeling of they know that they need to get Katie McCabe into the game more. Like, McCabe could play anywhere up the left-hand side. She could play in a more central role. And I don't think there's much room for dissent in that Republic of Ireland squad, as we've seen previously. So it'd take a brave player to speak out and say they weren't happy with the system or they weren't happy with their position, because I would imagine they wouldn't be long in that starting 11. So I think the players are doing what they're told. The results are starting to improve. And while they do, they'll all get along just okay. But if things start to fall apart in the second half of this campaign, I think the pressure from the outside will increase as to what's going on with Katie McCabe. How did they get Sullivan and McCabe linking up more often? And I think there's no doubt there must be times. There's no question that match on Thursday night, Katie McCabe must have been frustrated coming off. knowing the influence she could have and how little influence she actually did have. We saw with the equaliser that she scored, the quality that was there, but they just didn't get her into the game. Enough. So they need to find a way that they're not reliant on what the opposition do to get Katie McCabe in. And I do think we're going to spend the entire campaign talking about Katie McCabe and Denise Sullivan and focusing on those two players and how involved they are, because the more involved they are, the better Ireland play.
The difference you talked about there between 3-5-2 and 5-3-2, how much of that is down to like winning your duels in the actual match itself? Like, how much of it is predetermined? You're not going to, what we're saying when you're 5-3-2 is you're going to play left back tonight. You're not going to cross the halfway line. Like, that, it doesn't strike me that that was the game plan at home to Slovakia, was to be conservative and try and keep it tight and nick one, because we were supposed to be the oppressor in that one. So, like, what, where's the disconnect between the 3-5-2, 5-3-2 thing from that perspective? And do any, is it part of the players also standing up and saying, actually, no, we have the quality to be able to get on the ball and take those risks and pass it? Because it's not like they're not being told not to pass the ball.
No. And they're not going old style route one all the time either. It just seems to be at times they can't get enough bodies in the middle to take control of the game. I was talking briefly to Denise Sullivan afterwards about the difference, and said it was just so frantic and helter-skelter on Thursday night that they never got control of the ball. They never got space. The two holding midfielders never had enough time on the ball to pick out the right path. And Everton was rushed, which meant they constantly ended up turning over possession, which meant it was constantly scrappy, which I would assume then meant that, you know, Katie McCabe couldn't take the risk of stepping forward when you can't trust at times that your central midfield is going to keep hold of the ball. Yeah. Because suddenly you find, like what happened with the goal, where you find actually everyone is charged forward, you lose possession of midfield, and suddenly there's this wide open space. So there's definitely a balance to be got as well. But maybe last night, Vera Powell stumbled on something with Risha Littlejohn coming into the midfield as well, and herself and Connolly and O'Sullivan linked up brilliantly and had exactly those sort of nice little triangles and were able to control the game. The midfield, the defenders, three centre-halves were able to step forward. With three centre-halves, you think one of them should always be able to step forward. Like, Mifahi spent the majority of the game in the opposition half as well, that they were able to crowd them out of it. So maybe they just need to take a few more risks in general to make sure that they do get the results, because I think the one home game they have is against Finland. Like, that is going to be a nervy, nervy September, you feel, on the assumption that maybe Ireland, you know, go to Sweden and you would expect Sweden to win that, but likewise you'd expect Ireland to go and win in Georgia. A home game against Finland and away trip to Slovakia in the space of 5 days at the end of this campaign are going to be absolutely huge. And you just hope by then Ireland are in a position where actually in that home game against Finland, they do have a far greater level of control in midfield, more like last night, less like what we saw on Thursday night.
Is there a danger in making tactical amendments based on an 11-0 win over a team that were down to 10 players for so long?
There probably is, but I guess there wasn't a massive change in that. She did play the three at the back. If they'd gone with four at the back last night, we might have been thinking, well, is actually this the way forward? And you're going, well, what was the quality of the opposition? Maybe Vera Powell looked at it and said this was more of a mentality thing, that there was some nerves on Thursday night, that again, from very early in the first 5 minutes of that game, you were looking at Slovakia and thinking, they're a little bit better than we expected. They're a little bit more physical than we expected. Whereas last night, there was no question from the first couple of minutes in the game that Denise Sullivan was going to be the best player on the pitch. So maybe they just need that bit of a mentality shift from the start of the game and a bit of confidence to say, we're going to go and take it. I think she will stick with the three at the back. I think she will stick with the wing backs. And it will just be like, is it a mentality shift? Is it figuring out as the game goes on? I just cannot see a situation where Vera Powell is saying in any of those games to Katie McCabe, you sit yourself in the opposition half, no matter what happens. I think it'll be the exact same again of figure out how the game is going. And if she finds herself pegged back, she'll find herself pegged back. And it doesn't look as though there's going to be any change of position for Katie McCabe between now and the end of the campaign.
OTBAM brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. Now, we're going back to the Republic of Ireland's 11-0 win against Georgia last night in Tala. And I'm delighted to say Chloe Moustaki is with us. Chloe, good morning to you. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing? Early start.
Yeah, it's every day for us. We must have done something bad in a previous life. What was your expectation before the game? Because I think everybody expected Ireland to win. We were a bit concerned about how they were going to do it, but they managed to blow all of that away. So before the game, just if you can bring us back, what was your main kind of thing looking out for after the previous game where we all felt a little bit deflated?
Yeah, I guess I was hoping to see the girls kind of have a bit of aggression in their play. Obviously, last Thursday was a bit disappointing all round, but you wanted to see the girls kind of bounce back from that and get pretty, you know, a pretty comprehensive win. Now, I don't think anyone could have expected or wished, you know, for an 11-0 win, but, you know, in the end, it's what we got. It's a bit confusing, like, you know, doing some prep work and looking at Georgia before, you know, thinking Sweden only beat them 4-0, which is pretty phenomenal. Now, was, as I said last night, you know, on the radio coverage, was it that Georgia, you know, something was going on in the Georgia camp and it just fell apart last night? Or did we really see, you know, everything come together from the past year and a half under Vera? And we really saw the quality shine through from the girls, which you really haven't had a chance to see. So it could have been a combination of both, to be honest. But at the end of the day, you know, we capitalized on a poor performance from Georgia. And it was great to see so many girls on the score sheet and to see so many good performances from girls that, you know, a lot of us have been backing for so many years because we've played, you know, we've played with them or against them. And, you know, the fans haven't really been able to see that for whatever reason. So, no, it was a great performance. Look, hard for Georgia to take that, but it's really encouraging going into the break now, and hopefully we can build on that next year.
Who are you thinking of? Who are you talking about there? Those players in particular who kind of emerged last night, that the rest of Ireland now gets an opportunity to kind of sit up and take notice of.
Yeah, I think, look, our stars for a good while have been the likes of Katie McCabe, Denise. Now those two, you know, were outstanding last night as well. But you also saw the likes of kind of Ruisha Littlejohn, who, you know, unfortunately for herself, she's been kind of in and out of camp, she's been injured, but her quality on the ball was incredible last night. The likes of Jess Zhu, obviously I would have played, you know, week in, week out with her at Shelburne, but she's, you know, she's a star in the making, and, you know, she needs that confidence and that game time to be able to do it every week and that international standard every week as well. Now, again, we do recognise that Georgia were a poor side, but girls need that opportunity against kind of slightly weaker sides to build that confidence and be able to kind of then play in the bigger games. So, yeah, those girls. And then great to see the likes of Roma and a few others come on and, you know, be able to show their talent too. So it's an opportunity for Vera to get a look at those players and just generally speaking to build that belief and that confidence amongst the squad, because, you know, we have pulled off some good performances recently, but we haven't been able to get goals as much as we'd like to. And, you know, if we want to aspire to be one of those big nations going forward and, you know, and qualify for the World Cup, we need to be scoring goals.
Yeah, look, goal scoring was a massive issue before the Australia game. We were finding it very difficult to score at all, and that has definitely seems like it's a corner being turned. I think the point you made about the quality of the opposition, the process behind most of the goals was a good process. We were keeping the ball, we were recycling the ball when we needed to. We were only putting the cross in when it had to be put in. We weren't rushing things. There were definitely some horrific errors, defensive errors that contributed to our goals. But on general, on balance, what we were doing was the type of thing that you need to do again and again and again. And that habit that they're forming seems to be good habits.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why we managed to get 11 goals by Georgia, whereas maybe some of the other teams, like looking at some footage of Sweden, like Sweden hit the bar a few times. Like, I think it was just our night, and sometimes that's just how football goes. You know, Georgia were poor, but also, you know, we just executed well for those 90 minutes and we got the reward, you know. So it was probably on balance a bit of both, as I said. But look, credit to the girls. They were excellent last night. And, you know, they proved that they deserve everything off the field as well, which is great.
Oh, you said, you know, Ireland want to be one of those bigger teams. How much of a mindset shift is that? And how important is it that the team show ruthlessness in a situation like last night, that they keep the foot to the floor for that 90 minutes and keep scoring, even though, you know, some teams might even just ease off at the end and kind of feel sorry for Georgia that this team didn't and they kept going?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that we haven't really seen with Irish. I mean, with the Irish men's team maybe as well, although I'm probably not best placed to comment on that. But, you know, we've lacked that ruthlessness over the past few years. And maybe it's because, you know, up top we haven't really had that creative flair, you know, or the options to bang in goals as much as maybe some other nations have. But we are definitely building that at the moment. And especially we have so many girls playing abroad, which is, you know, which is hiring the standard for, you know, for our international squad. So it's brilliant. And we just need to keep being ruthless. You know, we need to make a stamp on, you know, our rankings worldwide, you know, and show other nations that we should be, you know, we should be one of the top nations, at least in Europe anyway. So, you know, that'll take another few years to prove, but we are definitely building something pretty special. And yeah, the quality, you know, the quality in camp is so high at the moment. You know, the players who are not in that squad this time around, who would have been kind of, you know, sure choices a year ago. So you can just see the level of the squad that's just getting higher and higher as the months go by, and it's brilliant. I mean, it's competition for everyone, and that's what we want. We want to be qualifying for major tournaments. We need that sheer competition in every single position.
Chloe, what's your own situation? You did an ACL and were out, I think, for about 18 months with it, and you're back, just won the league with Shells. How is your own form at the moment? Are you dreaming again of being back out there at some point?
Yeah, look, I've been dreaming since I tore my ACL, you know, just, you know, quietly confident that hopefully I'll get back there in the near future. I've only obviously just been back playing games about two and a half months now, and I know myself I have still, you know, a good bit to go, but I'm feeling a lot better now in terms of my play. Obviously, it's kind of come at a time where the season's finished now, so it's not great timing for me, but, you know, that's up to me to keep my standards and to keep working away in the background over the off-season. I'm looking at potentially, you know, a move back to England, only if it's the right, you know, if it's the right club and the right time for me. So obviously my aspirations are absolutely to get back into that Irish team. But I know the quality that there is there, so I'll have to work really hard. But I am ticking away in the background, and look, hopefully I'll get there at some stage.
Am I right in saying you did your ACL in Ireland camp before your debut?
Yeah, well... It wasn't necessarily going to be my debut, but I was hoping to feature, yeah, within that double header. So, the day before our game against Greece, I tore it in training. So, really unlucky. But to be honest, like, looking back, I was, you know, managing a lot in terms of a full-time job. I was traveling outrageous amount, you know, to work, to training in London, getting the tube, and, like, I was pushing my body to the limit, and, like, in hindsight, something had to give. And I look back on that time and I just think, like, what a crazy schedule I allowed myself to have. And I think, you know, if anything, it's kind of taught me a lesson, and, you know, to protect my body a bit better. So, it's kind of, I always say, it's kind of a tough, that bridging gap between amateur football and professional football is such a difficult, it's such a difficult time, whether it be for males or for females, you know, because you're trying to keep up, you know, your finances, but then you're also trying to push yourself physically, you know, to make that step up. So I think, unfortunately, I was just trying to hold out until the summer, and my body, you know, my body gave in before that. Now, it's hard to say when you tear your ACL, is it because of external factors? But I do think that played a big part. So, look, it is what it is, and unfortunately, it took me quite a long time to get back from, you know, from the tear, from the rehab, for whatever reason. But I'm back now, still working away, obviously, on bits to keep up, you know, to keep being able to play, doing my rehab in the background. I don't think that's going to change for a while, unfortunately. But I'm determined and I'm focused, and definitely getting back to kind of a high level of playing, whether that be, you know, staying here or going back to England. But definitely, you know, getting back into the Irish squad is something that I'd like to do kind of in the near future. So
I can see how exciting it must be to be on the verge of that, and how bittersweet it must be to watch nights like last night, where you're like, yeah, I could definitely have filled my boots.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, it would have been a good opportunity for, you know, for the likes of myself, but also the likes of the girls that did come on. Obviously, Roma, Kira Grant, obviously Saoirse getting another cap. You know, unfortunate that maybe, I think we only made four subs. I was looking, you know, reflecting after, we only made four subs, I think. Would have been nice for a fifth player to get on, you know, given the scoreline. So I think it's always just for the amount of work that girls put in to make it, in, you know, to make it into the squad. I don't think some people realise that sometimes. And, you know, even to just have given, you know, that fifth player a few minutes would have just been nice. But anyway, Vera has her reasons, and I know, you know, these things aren't black or white. So, it definitely was bittersweet for me, but I have to just keep focused and keep working away, and hopefully it will pay off.
Well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck with whatever comes next. Congratulations on the recovery and on the league title. Great to talk to you this morning, Chloe. Cheers.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
Chloe Moustaki there with a really interesting backstory. I can only imagine how heartbreaking it is to be so close and then to do your ACL and the recovery. I think it was a full 18 months out before she ended up kicking the ball again in anger again.
It's tough to see. It's kind of sad that she feels like she might have to leave to kind of get back to that level that, you know, you would hope that the FAI are looking at the crowds that are going to the games and the interest that's coming and looking at how they can maybe learn from the mistakes of the men's game and build something, you know, a league here that, yeah, that can harness that interest.
Like, you know, centrally contracted players, maybe?
Potentially. Like, there's definitely models there that you can follow. There's mistakes that, you know, there's mistakes and pitfalls that the Men's League of Ireland have gone down that they can learn from and build something that maybe can keep the best players. You know, obviously, look, if there's better money available and better standard available in England, you will always lose players to there. But there's no reason to say Ireland can't have some sort of a good professional league at some stage. I know it's going to take a lot to build, but it does seem like there's a growing and untapped market for women's sports in Ireland, and rugby is certainly not filling that gap. So, you know, could you potentially build a women's football league that actually does get bums on seats and competes on a weekly basis? Because there are certainly a lot of kids there last night from the sound of things. There are people who are interested. There's sponsors looking to get involved. There seems to be a queue of sponsors to get involved in women's sport at the moment. So, you know, you would like to think that if a player doesn't want to go away, that they can still play for Ireland while living here.
And there's loads of different models that you can use. You could have a games promotion officer, the games development officers that the GAA use, where those are, in some instances, they are county players who are also full-time employees of the GAA. Like, the FAI could definitely start looking at that for some of those, and I'm sure they're already doing it, so we're not teaching them how to suck eggs here, but whatever needs to be done to help get players who are on the fringes of the squad into full-time training or a work-life balance that will allow them to train like professionals and to get enough rest and recuperation so they're not doing their ACLs, then they should definitely be doing it. A reminder, OTBAM brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors.
Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.